The Torah in Parshas Vayeschanan records one of the questions of the children. Ki yish ol hafin chamachar lemar, ma ha'idos v'achukim v'amishpatim asher tziva Adonai Eloheinu eschem. If your son, singular, will ask you, singular, in the future, saying, what are the testimonies, the laws, the rules, which the Lord, our God, has commanded you, plural. It is generally well known that in the Haggadah, this is the question that is attributed to the Bein Chacham, to the wise child. The pasuk itself displays a bit of an oddity in terms of the pronouns, because it begins addressing an individual singular person, Kiyish Alcha Vincha. The child then asks, what are the laws which our God, which makes sense, if your son or your daughter is talking to you, that's two of you. And then he says, Eschem. Instead of saying Oscha, it says Eschem. Now, for students of Sefer Dvarim, this is perhaps not surprising. Even if you pay attention to the second parsha of Kriya Shema, you will see the switching back and forth between singular and plural. And it is very, very common across Sefer Dvarim to find this. Okay, but anyway, so that is what the pasuk says. Most of us, I think, are aware also that the Haggadah presents the first two children, the Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, Echad Chacham V'Echad Rasha. There's a long history to the story of the Arba Banim. The passage, as we have with four children, appears in the Yushalmi, in the 10th parak of Psachim. It appears in the Mechilta, the Medrash Halacha, on Sefer Shmos, and it appears in our Haggadah. None of these nuschaos are exactly the same. Only our Chacham has perhaps what might be considered the politically correct Tam. Both the Yerushalmi and the Mechilta have the politically incorrect Tipish. There is a whole discussion as to the history of how these Arba Banim get put together. The psukim that are used for each one are not identical in the different versions. If you're actually interested in seeing a little bit of the discussion, the history, Daniel Goldschmidt in his Haggadah for Pesach goes through the various nuschos, the various texts, and has some, sure, at least a brief discussion of it. I'm interested in focusing on one particular famous problem, which is the question of the contrast between the Chacham and the Rasha. And in the Haggadah, we read Chacham Ahu Omer, quotes the Pasuk, Ma'idos v'achukim v'amishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. And the response is given, not the one that's given by the Torah, the Amar Talavin Cha Avadim Hayinu l'faro b'mitzrayim, but rather something about Tichim Hilchos HaPesach. Okay. The Rasha, what does the Rasha say? Rasha Mahu Omer, Mohavoda Zos Lochem. And it seems that based that the Torah actually leads, Vayaki Omru Alechem Benechem, this is in Parshas Bo, we will read this the first day of Pesach, in the reading of Mishchu. Vayaki Omru Alechem Benechem, when your children will say to you, Mohavoda Zos Lochem, what is this Avoda to you? Va'amartem, you respond, actually, Va'amartem, and you say, Zevach Pesachu Lashem, Asher Pasach, Abatei, Bnei Yisrael, B'Mitzrayim, Minot Pos, Mitzrayim, Vespateinu Hitzil. You tell them, you say, that this Avodah is a Zevach Pesach, it's a Pesach sacrifice, commemorating the fact that God skipped over, had mercy upon, whatever it was, our houses in Egypt, while he was in the process of destroying the Egyptians, but he saved us. The Baal HaHaggadah makes an inference from Mohavodazas Lachem, Lachem Vilola. His implication is, what is this to you, as if he doesn't personally care about it? And the response given is not the pasuk that the Torah continues immediately, but rather a pasuk from the end of Parshas Bo, Bavur Zasa Hashem Li, Bitseisim Mitzrayim, Li Vilola, Ilu Hayasham Lo Hayanigo. Basically, the person who's Porish Venatzibur, who sets himself apart from the community, is Kofer Be'ikar, and therefore, had he been there at the time, he would not have merited redemption. The obvious question that bothers everybody, and I assume many people here, maybe every year, maybe every other year, maybe frequently throughout your lives, the question has been raised at the Seder, what is the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha? After all, the Chacham says, Mo Haidos Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. And the Rasha says, Ma'avados Yaslachem. Why is it that the Baal HaHaggadah understands that the Pasuk of Eschanan is speaking about the Chacham, and he is somehow not being Motzi Atzmo Min HaKlal, even though he uses the second, you know, person pronoun, whereas the Rasha, who uses the second person pronoun, somehow he's Michutz LaMachane? There have been many answers that have been suggested to this. I found at least 8, aside from the one that I think is the pshat, but I'm going to leave that for the end. The first one, suggested by Rashi, is that even though the Chacham says, Hashem Elokeinu Eschem, he does say, Hashem Elokeinu. You know, there is a sense of being part of the collective. In a certain sense, the Chacham, it's not clear why he formulates it this way, but he says, what did our God command you? Because maybe he doesn't know, so only you have been commanded. You now have to transmit that command to me. But it is Hashem Elokeinu. Whereas the Rasha just says, Mahavodah Zos Lachem. Normally that would be itchem, not eschem. Okay, could be. The word es sometimes does mean with. There are usages of it that way, but I'm not sure how that would play here, eschem. A second possibility, which is suggested by in the Perush HaMiyuchas LaRashbam and the Ritva, and in certain ways is echoed later by Rav Kook, is that the Chacham is recognized by his question because he's interested in the details. He wants to know what all the mitzvahs are. It's not one big lump thing, what is this to you, what is this avodah, but rather moha idos, v'achukim v'mishpatim. In the Haggadah of Rav Kook, I'm not by any means any expert or I know very little about Rav Kook, but at least as presented in the commentary, Rav Kook has this idea that while the general purpose of mitzvos is for the Tam HaMitzvah, it's really the ultimate goal, but a Tam HaChacham understands that the key towards getting to the ultimate meaning of mitzvos is through the details. We might say the devil is in the details. And the Chacham shows his character because he recognizes that you have to understand all the little details. The more details of a mitzvah you understand, the more pieces in a puzzle that you are grasping. So the Chacham is interested in the details, mal ha'idos v'chukim v'mishpatim, but the Rasha, it's all one big thing to him. The Shibboleth HaLeket and the Or HaChaim suggest that the difference between the question of the Rasha and the Chacham is that one of them has God in it and one of them doesn't. The Chacham says, Mo'aydos asher tzivah Hashem Elokeinu Eschem, whereas the Rasha just says, Mo'avodah Zos Lachem. It's kind of, once you see that, it's kind of obvious. Another possibility that's raised by the Shibboleth HaLeket is the use of the term Avoda. Eidos, Chukum, and Mishpatim refer to the laws, the commandments. But Avoda suggests it's a burden. Now that's a little bit tricky, if only because he notes that Avoda can sometimes be used not with a negative connotation, with a positive connotation. In fact, in Parshas Bo, in the next chapter, in Perek Yud Gimel, we read, V'avadta es ha'avoda hazos b'chodesh hazeh. The Karban Pesach is described as avodah. And on a pshat level, avodah refers to not a labor, but avodah actually refers to the sacrificial worship. But sometimes avodah is in fact simply burdensome labor. So perhaps something, you know, perhaps the use of the word avodah here, even though it's ambiguous, the Baal HaGadah sees that term in version 2 of avodah. He sees it as something negative, as opposed to the Chacham's portrayal of Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim. Another possibility, which first I saw in the Tziv, he mentions it very briefly, but it turns out, yes?
Maybe I'm being just slow here. Why is Eschem better?
What's that?
Why is Eschem better? Or you didn't
hear? So Eschem is, in some of these interpretations, Eschem is not necessarily better. In other words, on some level, the Baal HaGadah picks up on one detail. He says, Lachem below low. But the question is that really what's wrong with the Rasha's comment? Or is that just a rhetorical device that the Baal HaGadah is setting up so we can quote the answer of Avor Zeh Asah Shem Li, Li below low? In other words, it could be that Ilu Hayashem Lo Hayanigal, it's not because not because lochem. It's because, let's say, he describes his abodah, or because he's not interested in the details. But for the purposes of setting up his just desserts, so the Baal Haggadah focuses on lochem v'lo lo, even though that's not the real problem, so that he can use the response, bavor azeh asa Hashem li, li v'lo lo, ilu hayah Hashem lo hayah nigel. But you're correct. You're correct in asking that according to any number of these interpretations, in fact, according to most of the interpretations, that it's really not, even though the Haggadah says, lochem l'fi shehotzi esatzel min haklal, you know, kafar ba'ikar, but that's not really... In other words, they know that this pasuk is referring to the Rasha for a whole host of different possible reasons. Once you know it's referring to the Rasha, then the Baal Haggadah focuses on one of the Rasha's other negative characteristics, which is lachem hotzi es atzmo min haklal.
Conversely, the eschem.
So the point is, eschem on its own, right, is not really the point. In other words, there are other things about that pasuk that make it clear that it's a chacham, and his eschem is not lahotzi es atzmo min haklal. So the Gra. And Nitziv, I didn't see it that he quotes in the name of the Gra, but others quote in the name of the Gra. So the Gra points out that if you look at the difference between the response to the in Parshas Vayeschanan and the response in Parshas Bo, meaning the response to the pasuk we attribute to the Chacham, and the response we attribute to the Rasha. So by the Chacham is V'amar Tal Devincha. He asks a question, and you respond V'amar Tal Devincha. And that's true, by the way, for the other psukim as well when the child asks. But when it comes to the Rasha says, Ma'abad nazos lachem, and the response is, Va'amartem zeva pesach hu lashem, not Va'amartem lo. You're not responding to him. The Gra claims that the answer given to the Bain Rasha, you don't address it to the Rasha, it's addressed to everybody else at the table. Because because this child does not merit a response. And therefore, again, it's working backwards. Once you see that you don't respond to the question, it's obviously the question of the Rasha. The Abarbanel quotes several possible interpretations, but the one in particular he adds that I didn't see anywhere else is that the Rasha, the Chacham speaks in terms of Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. The Chacham understands that there's such a thing as a command, it's a mitzvah. The Rasha does not understand what the notion of mitzvah is. This, I think, is something that requires larger elaboration, but not in this context, of why it is, in fact, we do the things that we do. I have commented often to my students, I think this is a generational thing, is that there's a significant strain of thought in the younger generation that we do mitzvahs simply because they're meaningful to us. But fundamentally, the reason why we do mitzvahs is because Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. A mitzvah is not a good deed. A mitzvah is a commandment. So the Rasha doesn't really understand the notion of tzivoy. That's why the word tziva is not in there. But the Chacham describes these particular mitzvahs that you're supposed to do. Eidos chukam mishpatim is Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. One suggestion that occurred to me, and turns out later I discovered it's found both in the JPS Haggadah and in the Abarbanel, is one of his suggestions, is actually the framing of the child's question. In Parshas Vayeschanan, when the child presents his comments, his words, it says, Ki yish olcha vincha machar lemor. The child asks. However, when it comes to the Rasha doesn't ask. The Rasha just says, Ki yomru aleichem b'necham. I'm always struck by the fact that many times, I don't think it's happened in the shul, but I go and I give a shiur, so sometimes afterwards you get questions. So most of the time people ask questions. But sometimes people start talking in the question session, but they're not actually asking a question. They're there to say what they want to say. And when you have a situation where someone's not there asking a question, there's no point in giving an answer. That's not a person who's open to listening or a person that's open to learning. Hence, the Chacham is ki yishal chavincha, but the Rasha is v'haya ki yomru aleichem b'necham. Now, before we get to the answer that I want to put forth, which might be upsetting because it might ruin everything else that I've said tonight, I wanted to look at the Nusach of the Mechilta and the Yerushalmi, when they quote this. So if you look at the Mechilta, so it says, actually let's look at the Yerushalmi first. Tani Rabbi Chiya, Kineged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. Bein Chacham, Bein Rasha, Bein Tipesh, Bein She'eni Yodei L'shol. Bein Chacham Ahu Omer, Mo'edo Tzvachukim V'Mishpatim Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Sanu. Achata Amer Lo, V'Chilzek Yod HaTzion HaShem Yimitzrayim Bibei Sabadim. There are two major differences here between the Chacham's question and answer as found in the Yerushalmi and as found in the Haggadah. The more obvious difference is that the response is completely different. As opposed to the Afikoman and Hilchos HaPesach, instead, you quote a pasuk to him. The pasuk is, "B'chozek yarevtzion Hashem mi'mitzrayim mi'beis avadim." The other difference, if you're not paying careful attention, and I didn't underline it here, is that the nusach of the pasuk as quoted in the Yerushalmi is different. It says, "Osanu." If you look in the Mechilta, you find similarly, "Mohei dosa chukim ha'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem osanu." Now, this actually provides a very, very important cautionary note. You'll notice that there are two problems with the citation of the pasuk. One is that the word Elokeinu is missing, and the other is that it says osanu and not eschem. Now, the question is, why is the pasuk quoted this way? Now, you could just say it's a typo, and it's an error that the printer made, okay? But it's not only in the printed editions, in the Yerushalmi, it's also in the manuscript. So you could say that the scribe was not being careful. It happens. However, there are some who suggest that the change is in fact deliberate. If you look in the Pnei Moshe, which is one of the main commentaries on the Yerushalmi, I think the Pnei Moshe was, I don't know, from the Graz Rabbein, but from the sort of the generation before the Graz. He writes, "Vayaki v'nechama chalemar mazos doreshukan l'tshuvas she'ela shel ben chacham b'parshas v'aschanan v'ayaki shelcha v'nechama chalemar mahedos." So he says that the Yerushalmi is understanding that this is the she'ela of the ben chacham, as the pasuk that's found in Parshas v'aschanan. Uvakosuv nemar asher tziva Hashem lakenu eschem. The actual text of the Chumash reads eschem. Ela she'achacham nikar b'she'elaso ve'ena rotze lomar eschem v'omar osanu shelo lahotzi atzma min haklal. So according to the Pnei Moshe, the she'ela of the chacham is not the pasuk. The she'ela of the chacham is a modified version of the pasuk. The Chacham, when he asks, doesn't say "Moi dos asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem," because the Chacham, that's what the pasuk says. So it might be that the pasuk is not actually the Chacham. The pasuk is the pasuk, but the shayla of the Chacham is the Chacham knows to ask using that pasuk. In other words, very frequently we use biblical expressions as part of our language, but we're not actually quoting the pasuk. So the Pnei Moshe, I think, would say is that, I don't know if you'd say keneged arba abanim dibra, you know, dibru chachamim, but there are four times.
Because we're using the source of the four.
Correct.
Abanim is literally from the.
I like your question better than I like his answer. That's true. Okay. So in a slightly different version of this, without referring to the Pnei Moshe, Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, and Rav Kasher quotes it in his Haggadah Shlema, Rav David Tzvi Hoffman suggests that in fact in the Torah, the child asks, "Mo'edos v'ayaki shelcha v'necham achar le'mor, mo'edos v'achukiva meshvatem asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu." And that's where his answer ends. Eschem is Moshe Rabbeinu talking to the Jewish people. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu addressing the Jewish people as you, not including himself? Because this is the question that's going to be asked when they enter Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew he wasn't entering. This wasn't going to be a question that he was going to be asked. Now, you still say that seems to be splitting hairs. Except that Rav David Tzvi Hoffman points out that the pronouns in the Pasuk don't exactly match. Because if, in fact, this was the Sheila of the Chacham, it should have been, "Vayaki yishalcham enacham achar lemar, mo'i dos hachukim ha'mishmatem asher tziva Hashem lokeinu oscha," not eschem. And hence, he argues that the eschem is not, in fact, part of the Chacham, the child's question, but rather eschem is Moshe Rabbeinu saying that your child is going to, "Vayaki yishalcha vincha eschem." It's a little bit stretched, but that's what Rav David Tzvi Hoffman suggests. That would be a little bit better, because then at least it really is the Sheila of the Chacham. Okay. So that, I think, is a survey, as best as I can tell, of the various answers that have been given to the question. And despite what I'm about to say, all those answers may be true. When you have drush, even if it turns out not to be pshat, nonetheless, it is still true. However, the nusach in the Yerushalmi and in the Mechilta do not necessarily reflect the Chacham modifying the Shela. It could very well be that the nusach found in the Yerushalmi and the Mechilta in fact reflects the biblical text that the Bali Mechilta and the Bali Yerushalmi had in front of them. Now, it's very hard to tell from the printed text there, because printers make errors all the time, and even scribes make errors all the time. However, if you look both in the Septuagint and the Vulgate, the Greek translation, which is presumably of Jewish origin, 3rd century BCE, and the Vulgate, which is the official translation of the church, the Latin translation. So I read Greek a little bit. I don't read Latin at all.
Isn't that a modified translation?
What, the Septuagint? The Gemara lists the supposed modifications that they made. There's a list of 10 or 12 or something, but that's it. So in the Septuagint and the Vulgate, in both translations, the text reads, "has commanded us." It is highly unlikely that the translators of the Latin, I think St. Jerome, was thinking about the Shela of the Bein Chacham and modifying it. It's quite clear that the forlaga, that the underlying text, at least the Septuagint and the Yerushalmi, was in fact Osana. Now, if you suggest that, in fact, was the text that was in front of the Yerushalmi and the Mechilta, and in front of the Baal HaHagadah, then the question evaporates. Because the Rasha says, Mahavodazos Lochem. And the Chacham says, Now, I know that that's kind of disappointing.
The Torah says it's
good. No,
our Sifrei Torah in the Aron say, Eschem. But not all Sifrei Torah once read that way. It happens to be, if you look at all the Jewish Aramaic translations of this pasuk, they all have Eschem. If you look on the bottom of the page, every one of them ends with Yoschon, which is Aramaic Eschem. But the fact that the Targumim all had that doesn't mean that everybody in Chazal had that text. And this opens actually a larger question, which is relevant not only to this particular passage, but the question of the existence of textual variants within Tanakh. I like to tell my students the following story. Rashi in Parshas Truma says on the Pasuk, when God says, "I will speak from on top of the Aron to you, Eis kol asher atzaveh uscha b'nei Israel." So Rashi says, it's an extra vav, a vav yaseira, and he gives other examples. When I was probably 15 or 16, learning Rashi on my own for the first time, it was my bar mitzvah Parsha too, I had no idea what Rashi was talking about. Where was the extra vav? You read the text, it makes perfect sense. I didn't look carefully at the Rashi to see that the Dibor Maschil of Rashi read not Eis kol asher atzavecha, but rather Ve'eis kol asher atzavecha. And the truth be told, even if I had looked there, I don't think in my mind at that age and stage I had a box in my head where I could put this fact into. I don't think it fit into any category that existed for me at the time. It was only years later, having learned about this question, and then noticing that Rabbi Kibager and Shabbos and the Gilyon HaShas actually quotes this as one of a myriad of examples, and it's not a comprehensive list, of where Chazal or Rishonim had a different text in their version of Tanakh than we do. It happens to be that Rashi and Ibn Ezra and Chizkuni all had a vav in Parshas Truma. If you look in Art Scroll, I think that in each subsequent edition, what's going on in Rashi slowly disappears. The censors are slowly chopping away. I think in the earliest versions, there was still an acknowledgement that Rashi had a vav. If I recall correctly, in the latest versions, that somehow that acknowledgement has disappeared. But there is a definite possibility, and I want to spend the few remaining minutes talking about this, that in fact there are not a definite possibility, it's almost a certainty, but there are two views on this in the tradition, that there are examples in which Chazal are operating with a different text than we have. The differences typically tend to be minor. This is a relatively major one, Eschem and Osanu. And in order to understand the Medrash that Chazal, if you want to understand why Chazal are saying what they're saying, you have to realize that they have a slightly different text in front of them. Now, this question, as far as we can trace historically, was first asked to Rav Haigon. And in the Tshuvas Gaonim Kadmonim, Rav Haigon was asked, "Hutzrachnu l'tshuvas Adoneinu b'psukim shematzinu b'Talmud ve'einam b'mikra." They were asking not only about whether errors, but about psukim that are found in the Gemara and aren't found in Scripture. And one of the examples they cited was I forget where the Gemara is, but there's a pasuk, it's in Brachos, by Shimon ben Shetach, Sal Saleha Usaroma Mecca, which is a pasuk in Mishlei, but the second half reads totally something about something Nigidim, and the Gemara darshins the word Nigidim. And the problem is we don't have such a pasuk. Our pasuk in Mishlei finishes completely differently. So they asked them about a couple of places in the Gemara where the Gemara seems to have a pasuk that doesn't exist. So he responded, he said the following, Da Shelo Hayu Chachamim, Toen B'Pasuk. Chachamim never made mistakes in the pasuk. Sharei, Mishne Yoseim, Kama Torah Heim Yegeim, Shelo Tischalef Mishnah Sacham Zeb, Mishnah Sacham Acher. If you look at how careful they were in transmitting Torah Shebal Peh, that you didn't attribute the wrong position to the wrong authority, and when they weren't sure, they listed two versions as to whom it's attributed to. And they would carefully transmit the way they heard it from their rabbi. If you're talking about Torah Shebichsav, you have to analyze very careful whenever you have a doubt. What's lying at the root of the matter? And he gives three possibilities. One, imta'u soferhu. Okay, just an error of the scribe. Two, Oshitha the Talmidai Tarbitzai Shal Yibikin. Maybe the Talmidai, we don't know exactly who these Talmidai Tarbitzai are, but they seem to be the students in the Beis Medrash in the period between the Amoraim and when the Talmud was completely finished. It's kind of like, probably like Rosh Shri Ragon's Rabbanon Savorai, those sages who were before the Gaonim, after the Amoraim, who seem to be responsible in some way for completing the Talmud. So maybe they were just being careless in their citation. Oh, Davar Shenemar B'tchila Shelo B'toras Pasuk. That it looks like it's quoting a pasuk, but it's actually not. It's really paraphrasing or using a pasuk. Now the truth is, Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, or the Pnei Moshe's approach in the Yerushalmi, is sort of this third approach. It's arguing that it's not actually quoting the pasuk verbatim, it's quoting the Chacham's rendition of the pasuk. But Rav Haigon takes a very negative view of the possibility that there are errors in the citation in Scripture in Chazal. Now the truth be told, there is, of course, another possibility, which Rav Haigon is simply not acknowledging, which is not that it's an error, it's that multiple texts might have existed, and the text that Chazal had might be not the same one that we have. And in fact, the existence of multiple texts within the rabbinic period is explicitly attested to in Chazal. There's a passage in the Sifrei, the second, the source on the back, on the second sheet, on the one of the last psukim near the end of Ninchasan Torah, Ma'ono Aloi Kedem. And the Sifrei says that they found three Sifrei Torah in the Azara. The Azara, it would appear, this is what Shaul Lieberman claims, that's where they kept the official texts. And so what the Sifrei, and this passage is found in the Sifrei, if you want to edit it out and claim it doesn't exist, you have to erase the Sifrei, a Yushami, an Avos Rav Nosson, and a Masechet Sofer. It appears in four places, virtually identical form in rabbinic literature. They found three Sifrei Torah. Two of them had the word Me'ona, one of them had the word Ma'on. Two of them had 11 times in the Torah, the Bali Kriya will appreciate this, 11 times in the Torah the word he was spelled with a yud. Everywhere else in the Torah, much to the chagrin of Bali Kriya, he is spelled just like who, with a vav. But two of them had 11 he's with a yud, one of them had 9, and then two of them had Vel Atzilei B'nei Yisrael, Vayishlachas Na'arei B'nei Yisrael, and the other one had, instead of Na'arei and Atzilei, had the word Zatutei, means the young ones or the little ones. So the Sifrei says each one had an odd reading, and the Sifrei says they followed the majority reading, which means they adopted a Sefer Torah which matched identically none of the three, right? Because each one of these three had an error in it. Just as an aside, several years ago when I taught this passage to one of my classes in Yeshiva College, so I gave the students an assignment to go to a Sefer Torah in their shul and count how many he's had. Bennett, hold on. I didn't ask them to go through the whole Torah. I didn't ask them to read through. That would be crazy. I asked them to find out. I gave them which of the words that are supposed to have he with a yud, and I asked them to check. You have to roll the Sefer Torah, but you know which passage you were going to. Virtually every student came back and said that they had 11 he's. One student came back and told me there was a Sefer Torah in Bus Hall at YU that only had 9 he's with a yud. Fortunately, I never pursued it. I should have, because they probably should have fixed the Sefer Torah. But in fact, The odds are pretty good if you take any two Sifrei Torah out of an Aron, they're not going to be identical. There's going to be some error. Some of you may even recall, I think it was Elio Cooper's, I think it was Eliyahu's Bar Mitzvah, whoever had Parshas Vayikra. And there was a new Sefer Torah that had been checked by the Sofer, had been computer checked, and I think the pasuk was, V'im minchala machavas karbanecha, and I know I trained him well, because he read what was in front of him, which didn't have a vav, im minchala machavas karbanecha, everybody in the school screamed. I took a look and said, new Sefer Torah, time for a new Sefer Torah. The vav was just completely not there. So it happens. Things happen, sometimes we have different texts. Now, the truth is, this issue, is it possible that there could be multiple texts floating around, is an issue that in some way may be debated by a little bit by the Rishonim, although the dominant voice in Rishonim by far acknowledges the existence of textual variants. In a later period, the Achronim may be split on this. There is a tendency, even recently, Rav Chaim Heller, who was someone the Rav held in great esteem, so he was particularly noted, some might say notorious for this, for trying to deny the existence of textual variants and explain away every time it looks like the Gemara is darshaning some type of a different text, that really it isn't that way. The truth be told, I'm not interested in persuading anybody, but once the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, the evidence is so overwhelming of the existence of other Hebrew texts that underlie various translations, Targum, and so on. The issue is at this point almost a matter of fact. It's really not subject to opinion. However, you don't have to go, to that evidence to see that there are many Rishonim who, in fact, insisted, who accepted this as a reality. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Hamud Beis, in the midst of what I like to call the Art School Gemara, which is where Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonah's son, says that whoever says Reuven sinned is wrong, whoever says David sinned was wrong, whoever says Shlomo sinned was wrong, in other words, sort of whitewashing these sins of the biblical characters. So in that Gemara, the Gemara says, shockingly, that B'nai Eli didn't sin. Okay. David and Shlomo, at least I understand why you want to sort of, make them look, not so bad. But B'nai Eli were scoundrels, to put it mildly. There's nothing positive in the text about them. But nonetheless, so the Gemara there goes about trying to explain how B'nai Eli didn't sin by claiming that all the verbs that refer to their sin are in the singular. And then, and since we know that only, therefore, it's only the singular that only refers to Chafni and Pinchas didn't sin, and then they make a hekesh that Pinchas didn't sin, Chafni really didn't sin either. Okay? So in that passage, the Gemara says, but Eli said to his children, I hear that you are Ma'avirim Am Hashem. Ma'avirim is a plural. So the Gemara's answer is Ma'aviram Ksiv, that even though we might read it with a yud, a plural, it's written without that last yud, so it doesn't look plural. The problem is that in our biblical texts, in our what we call the Masoretic text, the Yud is there. So Rashi takes note of this, and Rashi says the whole Gemara is an error, the whole passage is an error. He apparently had a different girsa on who the Amora is even being cited. He says the whole, it was a Talmud Torah who wrote this Gemara, but it can't be because we don't have that text. But Tosfos, the Balei HaTosfos, on the fifth source, Mavi Ramksiv, just say very simple, Hashas Shalanu, Cholek al Svarim Shalanu, Shakasu Bohem Avirim. Tosaf says that there's a machlokas about the correct text between what the Bavli says and what we have in our Svarim. Svarim Shalanu is the Masoretic tradition. And Tosus goes on to say, V'chein Matzinu B'Yushalmi B'Shimshon. Now, if you read Sefer Shoftim as we have it in our texts, mention is made of Shimshon's reign of 20 years twice. Once right before the last chapter, and once after he dies, when he brings the house down. So both times in our text it says, "V'hu shafad es Yisrael esrim shana," it says 20. The Yerushalmi, however, writes, "V'chein matzinu b'Yerushalmi b'shimshon, v'hu shafad es Yisrael arba'im shana, melameid shehayu plishtim yireim imenu, esrim shana achar moso, kimo b'chayav. U'v'chol svarim shalanu k'siv esrim shana." Tosos in the Yerushalmi it says Arba'im Shana for one of them, and the Yerushalmi perceived the contradiction. Did he judge them for 20 years or 40 years? And the answer is he judged them for 20 years in his lifetime, but if you went up to a Philistine even after Shimshon was dead and you whispered in his ear Shimshon, he would fall apart because the terror of Shimshon stayed with them for 20 years later. So Tosos says the Yerushalmi had a Nusach of Arba'im instead of Esrim. Now there's one crucial methodological point that needs to be made here. Just because it says in the Yerushalmi, Arba'im, does not mean that's correct. Maybe the printer made a mistake. Maybe a scribe changed something. The crucial point, Tosfos doesn't spell it out, but Tosfos understood this, and it's a point that's been made by Professor Yeshayahu Maori it's cited, I think, in a footnote. It's in an article in one of the Orthodox Forum volumes about biblical scholarship or something like that. So Professor Maori notes that you have to be careful. You have to be able to prove from the drasha what text they had in front of them. You can't look at the printed text. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of errors in psukim when they are quoted and printed in the Bavli. Most of those errors have nothing to do with what the Bavli has to say. Someone was quoting a pasuk and made a mistake. It's only if you can tell from the drasha. Only if you can tell from the drasha that someone had that they had a different text in front of them, that you know that in fact Chazal were operating with a different text. In fact, I remember you can actually date this. It goes back a long way. Natan Libman, Alav Shalom, on the previous cycle of the Daf Yomi, it was Ksubos Daf Hei, so we're already more than one full cycle past. And he walks up to me during Hashkama on Shabbos, almost with his Gemara, and he's holding a weapon at me. And I knew exactly the question he was going to ask me. And I had not been doing that, but I knew this. I mentioned on this Gemara in Shabbos, on this Tosfos, Rabbi Akiva Eiger quotes a long list of other examples where the same thing happens, where it's clear that Chazal or Medrash had another text, and then we do. And that's it. Tosfos doesn't solve the problem. It just is. That's the way it is. That's what happens. Rabbi Akiva Eiger did not give a comprehensive list because there's a Gemara in Ksubos that he didn't put in that list. And when Natan came to the Gemara, I guessed exactly what he was going to ask me. The Gemara says that Gedolim Masei Tzadikim Imasei Shemayim Varetz. The handiwork of Tzadikim is greater than God's handiwork in creating the heavens and earth. Because when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, it says Mikdash Hashem Konanu Yodecha, two hands. But when it comes to God's creating the world, it says Af Yodi Yasta Shemayim. Singular. So the Gemara says, but doesn't it say V'yabeshes Yadav Yatsaru? So the Gemara, which is plural, his hands. The Gemara says Yadoksiv. Now, had this been the previous Daf Yomi cycle, Natan would never have asked me the question. He would have just believed the Gemara. But once you got to the last Daf Yomi cycle, you already had the Oz V'Hadar, who are kind enough to print the psukim on the side of the page. So he just looked over the side of the page and he saw that the text was Yadav with two yuds, plural. So you can, what was going on? So I said, look at Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Shabbos, you see that this is a well-known phenomenon. There are a couple of famous examples of Rashi and Chumash, one which I cite here, Vayihi b'yom kalos Moshe lakim es ha-mishkan. So Rashi quotes a medrash that says, kalas ksiv, the Jewish people were like a bride, like a kala, on the day that the Mishkan was set up. So you look in our text, though, it reads kalos with a vav. Now, some of the Achronim try to stand on their head to say, no, Rashi really had a vav, it's based upon something else. Okay, both the Ran and the Rashba, two Gedolei HaRishonim, just took for granted that the Medrash had no vav in its text. The Ran I quote here, in the last source, quoting the Gemara Sanhedrin, this refers to a drasha there. The Gemara is questioning whether when you interpret halacha, do you follow the way the text is written or the way it's read? Yeshem lamikra, yeshem lamasoris. So the Gemara says that in terms of the minimum number of placements of blood of a karban chatas on the mizbeach, l'chatchila, you're supposed to put one matana on each corner, four matanos. The Gemara quotes a machlokas b'shamay b'Beis Hillel, if you didn't do all four, you did one, you did two, are you yotze? B'Beis Hillel says one is enough, B'Beis Shammai says two is enough. So the Gemara suggests that the machlokas B'Beis Shammai B'Beis Hillel is based upon whether Yeshim Lamikra Yeshim Lamasaurus. And the Gemara says that the three parashios of the Chatas at the end of Perek Dalet in Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Vayikra read Al Karnas, Karnas, and Karnos HaMizbeach Savin. It's printed, one of them is printed with a vav in the Gemara, and it's clear from the Gemara's interpretation that Karnas, Karnas, Karnos either adds up to four based upon the way it's written, or it adds up to six based upon the way we read all of them as karnos, plural. Karnos, karnos, karnos. That's for our purposes. It's clear from the Gemara that they had one of the vavs with the karnos. I promise you, if you'll take any Sefer Torah out of that aron, or the aron in the main shul, or downstairs, every single one will have every single karnos without a vav. Everyone is spelled karnas. Not a single one has a vav. But the Ran notes here, the Chidush Ran, karnas, karnas, karnos, mashma miforash mehacha. It is implied explicitly from here, the lefum gemara, tzarech lios b'sefer Torah karnos b'vav, b'parshas kispa d'yachad. I think it's the last one. You could argue in the Gemara, it's not clear which parsha has it, but one parsha certainly does. V'kosvu miksas mefarshim zal shekosvu b'shem haravinu shlomo zal the loksiv karnos lo b'mechta v'lo b'mesorav imkenu tzarachim. It is not written in the Sefer Torah, and there is no Masoretic note on the side that would indicate that it's written Mali with a Vav. So it's clear that it's just not written that way. Tzarachim. V'yesh kayotze b'zeh b'yom kalos Moshe Shalem, the Rabbo Seinu Amru, the Kalasksiv. Our Sefer Torah have it with a Vav, and the Medrash has it without a Vav. V'chein, and Rashi quotes this, I didn't put the Rashi here. V'levnei ha-pilag shem asher l'Avraham, male, v'Rabbo Seinu omrim pilag shem chaser, because they say that Hagar and Keturah were the same person. Avram only had one pilagesh. He was the same person. And then he goes on to quote the Rashba to say that we find many different machlokas like this, and when you have to know how to write a Sefer Torah, all you do is follow a majority of additions. There's a lot more in this particular topic. I'm not going to deal with all, and I didn't plan to deal with all this tonight. But bringing it back to sort of our original issue, it is very clear that most of the Rishonim and many of the Gedolei Acharonim, Rabbi Akiva Iger was not a minor figure, were well aware that textual variants do exist. In other words, it is possible that sometimes Chazal had a text different than our biblical text. That, of course, you can only determine, again, not how it's spelled in the text, but rather how they interpret the text. And when you come back to our situation of the Sheila of the Bein Chacham, so again, it's clear in the time of Chazal there were different Nuschaos, meaning the Septuagint and the Vulgate read one way, the Jewish Aramaic Targum all read the way we have in the Masoretic text. So it's clear that two texts did exist in the time of Chazal. It is not definite that the Baal HaHaggadah had, or the Yerushalmi and Mechilta had in front of them the text that the Vulgate and the Septuagint, but it certainly does look like that. And if you assume that the Baal HaGadah had the text in front of them, not Eschem, as we have in the Masoretic text, but Osanu, then that in effect is the answer to the question. Of course, as I said earlier, it's one of the problems that I call Mechkar. And this is not academic, even though academics might be interested in this. This is Torah. This is all traditional sources. But one of the problems with this type of a teretz is it sort of ruins everybody else's fun. I am reminded of the story that, you know, Reb Chaim, someone asked Reb Chaim to characterize the difference between him and his father, the Beis HaLevi. And what they explained, the Beis HaLevi maybe explained this, is that they come to me, they ask a question, I show them it's a great question, I give them a brilliant answer, so I'm happy because I have an answer, and they're happy because they asked a good question. But they come to my son, and they ask him a question, and he explains to them why it really wasn't a question in the first place. So he's not happy, he doesn't have anything, and they walk away disappointed. So it is sometimes in the nature of these kinds of answers that once you look at this answer, you might say, of course, and then it ruins all the other fun and all the other drushas. So the truth is, hadrusha tijaresh, the drusha still is true, even if its vehicle is incorrect, the message still remains true, and the pshat, maybe the pshat as it is. Anyway, as we celebrate Pesach this year, and the Haggadah, we think about the Chacham and the Rasha, we can think about all of these possibilities as answers to this particular question. Any questions? 1 minute and one. Michael.
Does this contradict the Rambam saying specifically that the Torah should be ordained?
So are you asking me, are the Rashba and Tosos and the Ran and the whole list of Rishonim, Ritvan and the Meiri against the Rambam? The answer is probably not. There's a longer answer to that. The Pashtus in the Rambam in the Eighth Ikar, there is a line in there I know that says otherwise, but if you actually look at the Eighth Ikar, what the Rambam really says in the Eighth Ikar is that everything that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote in the Sefer Torah, he wrote because God told him to, and he didn't write any of the parts on his own. If you read carefully, there's one line in there that has this notion that our Torah is exactly that of Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. The Rambam doesn't discuss that in Eighth Ikar, in the Perashah Mishnayos. He doesn't prove it. He doesn't repeat that in the Mishnah Torah, and it doesn't emerge from the Gemara. If he meant that, then most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. It certainly does not contradict what the Gemara says in Chelek about Torah Min HaShemayim. Okay.
Thank you very much.